Good morning, Kings Park Raleigh. Here we are. Who would think that we'd be meeting like this, but the times require that we come together in this way. But so glad to be in your living room, in your den, in your home, in your apartment as you're gathered together. There is a way, even though there's social distancing, that we don't have to be socially disconnected. So glad to be here and just to share a few thoughts with you. And I trust you're doing well. We're really praying for one another and praying for you and just believing that there's going to be a silver lining during this bit of a challenge that we're in as a nation and globally in this pandemic. But we do want to encourage just that our faith would be strong and our joy would be high, that the gospel would continue to go forward, even though that we're going to be creative in getting it out. But there is a way, and God's going to have the last word, and I believe there are going to be good things that are going to come out of this kind of forced sabbatical that we're in right now. So you're in your homes, and that's a good thing. We have good biblical precedent for that. In Acts 2:46, it says, the first church, they met together in the temple courts and from house to house. So that's what we're doing right now on this platform, and we'll roll out each week what we're doing and how you can tap in just to hear encouragement. This is a bit of a fireside chat, even though there's no fire today. It's a bit warm, but just going to talk off the hip a little bit. I want to share just a few things from last week and recap some of the comments we made out of Hebrews 11. Just looking at Noah and his predicament and what he did and how we can apply that to our present challenge. Because the same faith that was operating in Noah and those in that hall of faith in Hebrews 11 is the same faith we operate in today. And so God is our hope and faith takes us to Him. And so anyway, so glad you're meeting. So glad that we're here. If you're by yourself alone, I want to encourage you that you're not alone. God is Emmanuel. He is with us, and He's here to strengthen us and to encourage us. So, Father, we just ask you just to bless the people of God today and just let everybody know how real you are, how much you love them. Lord, give them a promise from your word and just lift them, and may they find, Lord, just new wells of joy and just fresh encouragement from your throne, we ask you today in Jesus' name. And everybody at Kings Park Raleigh said, amen, amen. We love you so much. Well, last week, again, we looked at verse 7 of Hebrews 11, and it says that by faith, when Noah was warned of things to come, in reverent and holy reverence, he built an ark to save his family. And it was an act he did by faith. He heard a warning of things that were coming onto the land. It wasn't a good thing. A flood was coming onto the land. And he was forewarned, but he did something. Noah was proactive. And you know, we too can be proactive. So what happened to our man Noah? Again, just referencing last week, what did our man Noah do? He built. What can we do in this moment? Well, looking at that precedent, we too can build. We don't need an ark. We don't have impending flood that's coming our way. We know God put His bow in the sky to remind us and to promise us that would never happen again. But He did something proactively. He wasn't stagnant. He wasn't hiding. And I don't think we're to be stagnant or hiding either. And so Noah built. And so I think likewise, we are to build. What should we do? What should we build? I encouraged everyone last week that I think that among other things, we can build a tent of meeting where we go in to a holy place to meet with the Lord, to love on Him, to worship Him, to download His thoughts, to receive His strength, to receive His encouragement, and to receive the very life of God that He has. It's available, it's waiting, but we have to pitch our tent, just like Moses did. Remember Noah built, but also our man Moses would go and he would pitch his tent. All of Israel would watch him. He would go in there and meet with God. Joshua, the aide, would linger there at the tent of meeting, and he would receive from the Lord. We can do the same. So I'm just encouraging you to find a favorite chair or find a sofa or whether on the carpet and just begin to pitch your tent and find God in this Sabbath. We're all in this Sabbath, whether we wanted one or not, we're in it. He's made us to lie down in green pastures. So find God in this moment. Don't waste this precious time that you have with your family. I believe your roots are going to go deeper. And I believe together we're going to be creative in getting the gospel out. So I just want to encourage us with that. There is a place to go to meet with God. There's a place to go to get strong. And there's a place to build our immunities. I believe we have spiritual immunities just like physical immunities. Well, we can strengthen those immunities. Jude 20 exhorts us to build ourselves up on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. We have something to do with that. We can build ourselves up. We can pray in the Holy Spirit, and we can be strengthened in the grace of God and the tools that He gives us to be strengthened. So thank God for the Word of God. Thank God for a prayer life that He's given us. Thank God for corporate prayer and family prayer and individual prayer. But we can be built up on our most holy faith. You know, the qualifier with Noah's obedience was, in fact, his faith. What did he do with it? How was that faith expressed? Because faith without works is dead, James tells us. Well, he expressed it through building. He built something. I believe we're to do the same. And all those listed in Hebrews 11 in that hall of faith, they were all commended, not just because of the trial they went through, but because of their corresponding faith. That's key, whether that was Abel or Enoch or Abraham or Jacob or Joseph or Moses or Rahab or Gideon or Barak or Samson or Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets. They all engaged their faith and they were commended. And I believe this is going to be a time for strong faith for people at KPR and really Christians around the world. I mean, this is real what we're facing, but we can choose to pitch a tent and get along with God and receive strength from above. So, question, what are we building? We too have been warned. What are we building? What are we focusing on? What is our obsession? And of course, the choice is ours, but it really is an opportunity to rise up in grace and faith, to rise up in our faith, to rise up into the promises of God. There are a lot of measures we are all wisely taken to wash our hands and to practice social distancing. But again, it doesn't have to be social disconnectedness. But there are all these things that we're doing that are all good and well, and we should do that. We should heed just common sense. But I'll say this, stronger than any alcohol wipes and stronger than any bottle of Purell is the blood of Jesus and the name of Jesus and the Word of God. Thank God for all those precautions, but there is something stronger. I don't even have any more Purell. So I'm leaning into the Lord, and I'm downloading and building my immune system the way that I need to. But I want to encourage us that during this time, take communion in your homes. Minister communion, the Lord's table, to one another. Minister it to yourself. Jesus is our Passover lamb. And if you'll remember, the Israelites, they partook of the lamb, they ate the lamb, they applied the blood over their houses, over the doorways, the passageways. Lean into the blood of Jesus and partake of Christ, the Lamb, who is in fact our Passover. We have promises. We feed upon Him. We feed on His Word and His presence. He is our covering. He's our protection. He's our assurance. He's our confidence. So partake of Him in your homes, and then go forward in confidence. It is real. meat, and it is real drink. There's a transference of grace. So along that lines, also, I want to encourage us to forget none of the benefits, as Scripture says. The psalmist said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name." Forget none of His benefits. The Lord who forgives all your sins and heals all of your diseases. So we believe that healing is in the atonement. It's available. We want to appropriate it by faith, declaring that He is Christ. He is our Passover, our covering, our refuge that we read over you out of Psalm 91 last Sunday. So use wisdom in this hour. Yes, take up the directives that we've been given. Just the common sense precautions. Yes, use wisdom in this hour. But let's also activate our faith. It's not just wisdom and precaution while leaving our faith on the shelf. It's both and. We want to be people of wisdom, and we also want to take up our faith, and we want to marry those two together. It's not either or, but it's both and. We are submitting to the national recommendations that have been given to us by our government, and that's a good thing. We are rendering to Caesar that which belongs to Caesar, but we also render to God those things that belong to God. They're two completely different realms. So yes, wisdom, and yes, faith. Wisdom, yes, and faith. Don't take one without the other. Again, it's both and. Now, if fear asks for permission to enter the equation, you simply just say no. But have some skin in the game. Rise up and give an emphatic no. Unequivocally, no. I'm not going to open the door. I'm not going to let you in. I can feel you knocking. I know you're wanting entrance, but I'm not going to let you in. I'm only going to let the virtue of God's word and His promise into my life. James tells us, he gives us a bit of a prescription and a bit of a recipe, actually, what to do. And it's a twofold thing. And sometimes we're good at one, but maybe not the other. But James says in James 4:7-8, to submit therefore then to God, resist the devil and he will flee. So sometimes we can be good at submitting to God, but we're not taking up that holy resistance to the fear or the anxieties that come our way. But it's a two-pronged approach here. Submit to God, yes, but also resist the devil, and it says he will flee. It goes on to say, come near to God. Now that's pitching your tent that we're talking about. Come near to God, and He will come near to you. That's a great promise. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. So we want clean hands. We want to purify. So we draw near to the Lord, and we also resist. It's a 1-2 punch. It's a two-part equation. Submit, resist. Rise up into that tent and say no to your foe who's seeking interest to just mess with your emotions and to try to change the narrative. We're not going to allow him to do that. So herein lies our faith to act and obey his recipe. The government has its recommendations, yes, but our God has his recommendations. Our God has his recipe. So after meeting with the Lord, pitching your tent of meeting, drawing near to Him, then I want you to check your expectations. And that's kind of what I want to leave us with today. What then are your expectations? Are you expecting good things? Are you expecting God to intervene? Are you expecting there to even be a redemptive silver lining to this challenge and conflict and pandemic that we're going through, not only as a nation, but in the world? And on the matter of faith and fear, hear this. Fear expects the devil to move, but faith expects God to move. Again, fear expects the devil to move. Faith expects God to move. And guess who has the choice between those two. We choose. See, by faith, Hebrews says, Noah built. And by faith, we also can build our faith. We can strengthen our immunities. Faith expects God to win the day. We choose. So where do we put our eyes? Where do we put our focus? What messaging are we receiving? Remember a few weeks ago, we talked about the importance of messaging and what frequency are we deriving our narrative from? And we need to shut down vain imaginations and speculations and anything lofty that raises itself up against the knowledge of God. So as we're speaking to parents, as we're speaking to singles, as we're speaking to students, just know that faith will always give you a positive view of the future. Faith takes you into your future. Expect a good future. God knows the plans He has for you. God doesn't make mistakes. He's not arbitrary. He's not random. He's not caught off guard. But faith will always have a positive view of the future because it involves our amazing God, our faithful God, the one that's faithful who has promised. It brings the involvement of God who intervenes. So we want to look at Him. We want to gaze upon Him. We want to hear Him. We want to give Him all of our faculties so that we're giving good quality attention to our God. We want to give Him access to our ears and our eyes. We want to make sure we're hearing the right report. We want to ensure that we're not just hearing the news only, which gives us wisdom, but if we're not careful, we can go over the line into fear and anxiety. We want to make sure we're getting these holy downloads of God that strengthens us. So we want to stare and we want to gaze. We want to love Him in this hour like never before. We want to adore Him. We want even to worship Him and yes, even fear Him. Interesting. We have 365 fear nots in Scripture, one for every day of the year. And the Bible says, fear not, fear not, fear not. But God did say, reverence me. You fear me. If you're going to fear, you reverence me. And you know, we're creatures of worship. Whatever we fear is an expression of worship. And that's why God said, you don't worry about that. You fear me. And your reverence of me actually is an expression of worship to Him. What we fear, we will obsess with. We will worship. Reverence is a form of worship. So God would say, you fear me. You look upon me. Let me talk to you. You've been talking to all these other folk. You've been reading the reports. You've been diligent. And that's good. Let me talk to you a little bit. Let me download my word to you just a little bit. Give me opportunity to fill your heart with strength. Let me immunize you and your whole person, your whole man, spirit, soul, and body. Listen to the psalmist in Psalm 16, 8 through 11. Now, this is so magnificent in my opinion. I love this prescription. I love this recipe of the psalmist. And as David wrote most of the Psalms, he had lots of conflicts. He was chased. He was harassed. He was on the run for his life. But I love the Psalms. But listen to this. This is magnificent. Here he said, I have set the Lord always before me because He is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body will also rest secure because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. That was prophesying of Christ. You have made known to me the path of life, and you will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasure at your right hand. That is magnificent. I love that. Again, hear this. I have set the Lord always before me. I have set the glory of the Lord before me. And as we gaze upon Him, we're being transformed into that image. The glory that's on Him downloads and gets on us, and then the enemy of our soul is driven out. we set the Lord before our eyes, and then God deals with the bully. We set the Lord before our eyes, and all of a sudden we discover all is well with my soul. And in His presence is fullness of joy, and at His right hand there are pleasures forevermore. I love that. That's a good state to be in. And therefore the psalmist could say, I'm not going to be shaken. I will not be shaken, for You have shown me the path of life, and You have made me glad, and You have granted me joy. So again, what are our eyes on? What are we listening to? To whom are we looking? I love this in Isaiah. God spoke to the prophet Isaiah and gave him an exhortation here in Isaiah 8, 12 through 14. And it was speaking of the Assyrians, the enemies of the people of God. And the prophet said here, do not fear what they fear. Do not fear what they fear. We have God, Jehovah, Yahweh is our God. We don't have to fear like the Gentiles do. Do not fear what they fear. We know the world's running to and fro, and there's a lot of frantic panic, and there are things that are real. We don't deny that. But to whom are we looking? But again, against the backdrop of conflict, he says, do not fear what they fear and do not dread it. And listen to this. It says, the Lord Almighty is the one you are to regard as holy. He is the one you are to fear. Interesting. It goes on to say, and He will be a sanctuary. Whoop, whoop. There we go. I love that. That's the alignment we want. That's the focus we want. We are in the driver's seat based on abundant directives of Scripture. Scripture doesn't discount the conflict, but it gives us a path to life. It gives us a path to hope. It gives us a path to encouragement. It gives us a path to be built up in our most holy faith. But there is this dichotomy of conflict and faith, such as life. There is a dichotomy there, and there are tension points there that are quite interesting. But in these settings, that's when our faith shines the brightest, not on the mountaintop, but in valleys, in times of conflict, our faith is alive. Remember Song of Solomon 8:5. It asks this question, who is this coming up out of the wilderness, leaning on her beloved? I love that. There was a wilderness conflict, but there was also a leaning and looking to the Lord, which is beautiful. Who is this coming out of the wilderness, leaning on her beloved? I love that. That should be our posture as well. Hopefully we too are found looking and leaning on the Lord. Again, there's a wilderness, yes, but there's also a powerful leaning on God. So we see the contrast. We see the dichotomy. Another example, and it's amazing how you find these multiple examples in Scripture, but in Matthew 24, that talks about end times, and again, a lot of spooky things you see about the end times. But right in the middle of that narrative, it's amazing how Jesus Himself just interjects statements of hope and statements of strength and alignment to make sure that our gaze and focus is where it needs to be. But in Matthew 24, it talks about nation rising up against nation, wars and rumors of wars, famines, earthquakes, of course, plagues. But in the middle of that list, Jesus said this. I love this so much. He said, see to it that you are not troubled. See to it that you are not alarmed. Yes, these things are coming on the earth. We're not going to whitewash that. We're not going to be Pollyanna. We're not going to deny. Yeah, that's happening. But you, my covenant people, see that you're not troubled. See that you're not alarmed. Well, we have to make a decision. I guess if Jesus is saying that, then I can put the fretting aside, because He knows something. He sees the future. He sees a year down the road. I believe He sees past this pandemic, and there's going to be some powerful things that are going to be the result, I believe. There's going to be a silver lining of harvest and a silver lining of the people of God going deeper in the things of God. We're going to get creative, and there's going to be a way where the gospel is going to go forward unstifled. But things do break out on the right. Things do break out on the left and everywhere. But we're not to be troubled. Sounds a lot like Psalm 91. So hear this. Jesus, our Jesus, He rules by peace. You know why? Because He's full of it. He's full of peace. He is the Prince of Peace. He ministers out of who He is. And that's why Paul so confidently could tell the church at Philippi to be anxious about nothing. I don't know what that means to you, but it's clear in the record. Be anxious for nothing. But then he pitches the tent. But in everything, through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your request known unto God. And then the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard our minds and hearts through Christ Jesus. So there is a guarding of our hearts. There is a guarding of our minds. There is a peace that transcends, that just passes understanding. This is our God. That's why we look upon Him to be settled in our spirit. And you know what? When we're settled and we have that assurance of faith and confidence, we can go out and settle someone else. But we can't export what's not working at home. So we want to be settled in a strong spirit of peace and confidence. Then we want to check on folk and then help them and make sure that we are settling them. So I am not expecting coronavirus to win the day. How about you? I am not expecting coronavirus to have the last word. I expect our God will win the day. Watch and see what happens. Watch and see how Christians are going to rally together. Watch and see just the creative outlets of how to get the word out, how to cause the gospel to go forward, how people in their homes with all this time, this Sabbath that we're in, are going deeper, and how people, due to this period, we're going to find Him afresh and feel and experience the strength of God. We're going to immunize ourselves in a new way, but watch what happens. Watch for a silver lining. Watch for souls to come in. Watch what happens to the harvest. Watch brave and noble acts going on your right and your left. So, who do we believe will win the day? Well, I think God will. I think, too, the people of God will. So we encourage you, build that tent, pitch that tent, activate your faith, and then what faith tells you to do. What is your expectation? What do you expect? And who do you expect to move in these times? I declare God is still sovereign. I declare God is still on the throne. So set your expectation on God, set it on His Word, and keep it there. Keep it there. Last week we read to you Psalm 91. We just spoke that over you, KPR. Today, I just want to read Psalm 23 over us today. It reads, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet, still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His namesake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," here it speaks of it as a shadow, "I will fear no evil, for You are with me, Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before us," where? "In the presence of our enemies." Interesting. "You anoint our head with oil, our cup overflows. Surely goodness and love, mercy will follow us all the days of our lives, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." We have an amazing good God, and He's given us His name, He's given us His word, His spirit, His blood. Again, I want you to minister communion to one another. I want you to partake of that lamb. I want you to apply that blood. I want you to be strengthened in regard to your faith. I want you also to be a deliverer of others that need hope, that need encouragement. This could be our finest hour. So let's arise in faith. Let's look for opportunity. And let's just trust that He is faithful who has promised. So let's just close in prayer here today. Father, we just invite You, O God of mercy, to come to us, to come to our nation and check this plague. Lord, we pray that You move not only here, but in the nations of the earth. We pray that You check it in Italy, that You check it in China, Iran, in Europe. Lord, we pray those that have been affected, that You, Jehovah Rapha, would heal them and touch these bodies. Lord, that You would comfort the troubled. And Lord, I pray that those that don't yet know You would take inventory of their soul and consider eternity, that this is the moment to cry out to You, to make their peace with You. Lord, we declare it'll even be a harvest moment in this hour, that people are going to get saved. They're going to consider that life is just but a breath, as the Scripture declares, just a handbreadth. It's here and it's gone. So as people are taking up around the world noble themes of life and the brevity of life and issues of eternity, oh God, we pray that You break in. We pray that You come. We pray that You awaken this nation and the nations around the world. And Lord, I just pray for our people. I just pray that, number one, they would be strengthened. And secondly, they would take opportunity to minister to people in a creative way, to call, to text, to email, to share a verse, to share a prophetic word, to bring a life-giving encouragement, to bring hope to those who aren't people of the covenant yet, and to bring to them the very knowledge of hope and deliverance in God. So Lord, I bless everyone. We just invite You to reign in the midst of us. Come to our nation. Come to the nations of the world. Your kingdom come. Your will be done, God, we pray. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, it's been good just having a few moments together. Thank you for letting us come into your den or living room, your home, apartment, or wherever you might be. You might be on the playground with your phone or your laptop, but we're so glad to be able to connect, and we'll let you know what we're going to do week in and week out. We have a Zoom platform for small groups that we're going to roll out. Also, we have a giving link that we've put in the email that you can continue to give faithfully. And for those who write checks, a P.O. box that's been given to you to mail that in as well. But thank you for pitching your tent. Thank you for being creative. Thank you for allowing faith to rise. Relate with God and look to others that you can help strengthen and bolster. We love you, Kings Park. You are absolutely amazing. Mwah. We bless you. And we'll look forward to connecting again real soon. We're praying for you. Bless you. Love you.